The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition, and what a Saturday we have in store as well. It's all live from 11:40 a.m. with Ross Brierley, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. Very good meetings at Haydock and Ascot, where the Betfair Chase is the feature race at Haydock. We also have some good racing at Ascot, the Amlin 1965 Chase, the Coral Hurdle. There's also Huntingdon and Lingfield and Wolverhampton in the evening. So much racing, I can barely fit it over the jingle. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action, he's Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very good, thank you, Mark. Particularly excited about Saturday's racing, I have to say.
Yeah. What a Saturday. Yeah,
it's cracking,
what
isn't it?
What a Saturday.
After the delights of Cheltenham last week, where, to be fair, as much as I love racing at Cheltenham, and the 3 days were hugely enjoyable, there's probably only three or four very good races that I really enjoyed over the three or four days. Obviously, yeah. The Paddy Power Gold Cup, Sam Winner was really good. Obviously, the Great Wood, Balthazar King was a bit of a heart warmer. King's Palace was quite good in the Novice Chase, etc. But there were two or three races which left me a little bit underwhelmed, to be honest, over the course of the 3 days. And so now, having gone from 3 days of quality spread fairly thinly, we've gone to 1 day of it,
Lid on thick.
Yeah, bursting at the seams, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, we had Cheltenham last weekend, but we'll get more Cheltenham clues this weekend, even though it's not at Cheltenham.
We will indeed.
We'll learn about the Gold Cup picture, the Champion Hurdle picture, and it's not many weekends where you can look at the anti-post markets quite so many times, I don't think.
Well, exactly. I mean, to be fair, next weekend's going to be, we've got 3 days at Newbury. Fairy House have got three Grade Ones on Sunday. Sandown's then after that with Aintree, so you'll have Grand National clues and Queen Mother clues. Then we're back to Cheltenham. Then it's Christmas and it's the King George, so it's going to be a hell of a ride, Mark.
It is. It's great. It's great stuff. Right, what we'll do is we're going to look at three races in particular detail. Those are the Amlin 1965 Chase, the Fixed Brush Handicap Hurdle and the Betfair Chase. But before we get to those, we're going to have a quick look at the Champion Hurdle picture, because it could change on Saturday, or it could just confirm what we already think, with the new one in action at Haydock and Forheen running at Ascot. It's hard to really see past the favourites in both races, Stephen. So what are you looking for out of those two on Saturday?
Well, yeah, as you say, Mark, it is pretty hard to see past the front two in the Betfair Price Rush Hurdle, which, to be honest, as a race and a concept, I'm totally against. The fact that there's a £100,000 Grade 1 for over 2 miles next week, long established at Newcastle. The fact that this race has been put on and five of the six runners are entered at Newcastle next week is to the detriment of that. And as a traditionalist, in terms of races and the structure and that sort of thing, I'm disappointed to see a race like this pop up in the calendar for this sort of prize money when there's an exact equivalent next week, to be honest, because I think that money could have been better spent. Mm. In terms of the race, it's quite a good affair, obviously, but it should be a pretty easy spin round for the new one, for Nigel and Sam Twiston Davis, to be honest. I think one thing that's interesting, Mark, if I've read the details of the course configuration correctly, this race, and the only race on Saturday, is going to be run on the outer flat course. So the races that we see them using all summer, right under the stands rail, where the others are going to be on the traditional hurdle course. Now, that will benefit the new one, I think, because yeah, the traditional hurdle course is quite tight on the inside. So the fact that he's going basically as wide as you can at Haydock, because it's on the outer flat course, will suit him, I do think, to be fair. Of the opposition, obviously Melodic Rendezvous is a course and distance winner on soft ground, trained by Jeremy Scott with Nick Schofield in the saddle. Did well in the early part of last season, made a winning debut at Wincanton in the Elite, beat Petit Zieg here in the Champion Hurdle Trial, won again at Wincanton, obviously out of his depth at both Cheltenham and Aintree, to be honest, and well behind the new one at Cheltenham as well, and I expect that form to be confirmed. I don't think Zamdiman's going to be quite good enough, although he did win three nice races last year. He's going to have to improve a hell of a lot since we last saw him. Hawkeye did improve, won at the Cheltenham Festival to win at Aintree, but again, it was a handicap. Williams Wishes comes here for a spin round, having been chasing of late. Well, of late, in his recent runs, but over a year ago. And that leaves you with Aurore d'Estraval, who's a beautiful filly. I really like her. Her jumping technique is one of the best I've seen. It's really, really nice. She's won on soft ground, she won on heavy ground, she won on good ground. She ran really well at Wetherby, but that was a listed mare's hurdle. And going against a new one is a completely different kettle of fish for all that she's receiving £7 from him. But I'd expect her to finish second with Barry Geraghty, a very good booking, of course, to the new one.
Yeah. I think if she does run second, it's a fine effort as well to finish second.
Oh, yeah, so. Cracking effort, yeah. In the same way that Cockney Sparrow was a great effort last year for the same connections when she was placed in the fighting fifth behind My Tent or Yours and obviously went on to prove that that was no fluke.
Mm. Okay, so that's the Haydock race at Ascot. We have the Coral Hurdle, which was the Ascot Hurdle. It's a Grade 2 over nearly 2.5 miles, and interesting to see Fourheen in action here. Willie Mullins obviously won this race with Annie Power last year. Can you see past Fourheen?
Again, it's going to be very difficult, to be honest, because the opposition here for Fahin is weaker than the new one he's facing at Haydock, to be honest. None of them have got any chance of beating Fahin, providing that he runs, even if he runs below his best, he should still probably beat them, to be honest. Lac Fontana is the one who I think will finish in second place. He had a good time of things last year, of course, improving through Handicap Company to win. A grade one over this trip at Aintree in April was well behind Vautour, it has to be said, though, in May. And obviously Paul Nichols and Willie Mullins will probably both know where they stand as a result. I think Lac Fontana will probably run well, but I think he's playing second fiddle to Fahin, unfortunately. And the others, well, something's going to have to go seriously wrong for one of them to win.
Mm. I'm really excited about seeing Fahin. He was nicknamed The Machine, wasn't he, last year? He's just such a great prospect for the champion hurdle.
And they must, considering they had the champion 2 mile novice hurdler last year in Vautour, to go away from him, send him chasing so they can run for him in the champion hurdle is a fair pointer, I think, to be honest. And just mentioning Vautour, he's been declared to run on Sunday to make his chasing debut. So another exciting horse. And Willie Mullins is, you know, really rocking roll, about 40%, I think, in November strike rate. So it's hard to see away from Fahin, unfortunately. But hopefully it will be... I don't really want him to just have a school round. I either want him
really
to...
Really serve it up to...
I really want him to either, like, smash them to bits or scrap it out in a close finish. Not because he's not as good as we think he is, but because it then gives you a bit of a talking point. And then when he does come out and smash them up next time, you'll be like, woof.
You learn something about him as well.
So, like Franklin.
Rather than just schooling around, you'd actually learn about him.
Like with Franklin, the St. James's Palace,
Fourheen, 11-4 for the champion hurdle, by the way. The new one is 7-2. Jeski, 11-2. Annie Power, 10s. Hurricane Fly, 14s and 25s or bigger. For the others, so interesting to see how that picture changes.
It will.
On Saturday. but let's focus on some races in a little bit more detail. Some of them are a little bit more open as well. Starting at Ascot in the 205, the Amlin 1965 Chase, which is a Grade 2 over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. We have a field of 6 for this one, and Wishful Thinking arrives here in pretty good nick, I suppose you could say. And it's interesting to see him take on last year's winner, Alpha Roth.
Yeah, these are the main two, I think, to be honest, Mark. Obviously, Berry Parade showed a fair level of ability last year for Paul Nichols, but he's a bit of an in-and-out character, and I wouldn't trust him. Fox Appeal, steadily improving for Emma Lavelle, and Aidan Coleman is Fox Appeal, and he ran really well when he won at Kempton, although it was a graduation chase. Beaten in the handicaps before that, novice company well beaten by Uxie's Andron Boulder Success, so it's a lot to live up to for him. Summersby, I'm not sure he's the same horse anymore, to be honest, which is disappointing because he seemed to have a small resurgence last year when joining Mick Shannon, but a couple of runs of late have suggested that, you know, he might not be feeling it. For all that, his best form has come at Ascot. His peak career efforts have been at Ascot and Cheltenham generally, but obviously he won the Victor Chandler here, etc. But that would really need to sort of spark something into him to go back to Ascot to win. And Rajdhani Express obviously showed a fair level of form last year. He's still only 7 as well. And they avoided the Paddy Power Gold Cup last week to come for this with him. And probably they've got more chance of picking up some prize money. But I think he'll run well, maybe Rajdhani Express, without actually winning. So we get to Wishful Thinking, who really did bolt up, didn't he, in the Old Roan. It was quite a remarkable performance, to be honest. The way he flew the final fence was a sight to behold.
And, you know, they've been trialling between 2 miles and 3 miles last season. He was third in the Tingle Creek. He was second over 3 miles at Aintree. He won over 2.5 at Aintree last time out. He won over 2.5 in a handicap at Cheltenham. But when you look in recent seasons, his peak efforts, you know, have been in handicap chases with big weights. And he tends, when going into Pattern Company, to run well, but struggle to get his head in front. And he also, to be honest, doesn't put back-to-back, very good back-to-back efforts generally together.
Yeah.
So both of those things concern me a little. Whereas Alpha Roth, on the other hand, although he's conceding weight to them, A, he's reunited with Ruby Walsh, which is fascinating for the Paul Nicholls yard, considering I'm just looking through now. Ruby is one on him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. Ruby's one on him from a total of only 8 rides, which is a very good record.
The last one being the 2012 Paddy Power Gold Cup.
It was indeed, yes. And the point on that, in 2013 in this race last year, in 2012 in the Paddy Power Gold Cup, in 2011 in the November Novices Chase at Cheltenham, he won first time out. And he also won first time out in joining Paul Nicholls from Ireland as well. So he does go well fresh. And they said at the end of last season he had problems with ulcers and he wasn't quite right, but he's back to his best. And his peak form, apart from when he won at Cheltenham and he beat Sprinter Sacker and Q-Car, which obviously was probably the best Supreme we've seen for many a year, his peak form's always come this time of year. So because I don't trust wishful thinking to repeat the old Roan effort, I think Alpha Roth first time out could be the way to go.
Paul Nicholls as well. Good record in the race. He's won 3 of the last 4 renewals with Alpha Roth last year and a couple of times with Masterminded in 2010 and 2011. The other winner in the last 4 years, Captain Chris, trained by Philip Hobbs. Richard Johnson in the saddle, same connections.
Yeah, exactly. Same colours. They do well with the Whateleys, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So it just adds an extra element to it, I think.
Yeah.
But you're starting with Alpha Roth?
I'm starting with Alpha Roth.
Right. To Haydock then. The 225 is where we start there. This is the fixed brush handicap hurdle, which is a grade 3 contest over 3 miles. I do believe we have betting on site for this one. We do. Volin Atai, 4-1 market leader. Katko is 13-2, 8-1 for Big Easy. Abusson is 10-1, 12s for Dara Tango and Sybarite and Verlion Rouge. 14-1 for Oscar Rock, Shimla Dawn and Spirit of Shankly and Upswing in there as well. And then 16-1. Or bigger prices for the others. I think it's pretty well documented that David Pipe has a pretty good record in this race.
He does indeed, yeah. Out of his two runners that are prominent, Katko and Verlion Rouge, I'd rather side with Verlion Rouge, to be honest. Katko returned after, what?
A long time.
I'm just trying to work. 20 months off the course last time out at Cheltenham, and he turned out 7 days later. Bounce, 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 bouncy, bounce. No way will I be supporting him. He might do it, but the laws of probability suggest to me that there's no way he can step up on his Cheltenham run to win this race, which is what he's going to have to do. So I'm happy to swerve Katko. And I think Verlion Rouge out of the two I would prefer. His form in the early part of the season in Tin Pot Novice Hurdles was not bad. He did it impressively. And then he was well beaten at Cheltenham when he was quite well fancied for the Marcin Pipe. But then he's third to Garde La Victoire, doesn't look too bad now, at Cheltenham in April. And his return behind Shelford wasn't a bad run either at Chepstow in the Silver Trophy there. And he just stayed on a little bit. I think he might improve for the step-up in trip. A cross-German-French pedigree would suggest that a longer trip would suit him as well, actually, Verlion Rouge. And I think he'll go really, really well. And he's formed ties in closely with Orbison, who's another one who I think will improve for the step-up in trip. He was second to Shelford. But although Lizzie Kelly's got on very well with him and done very little wrong, Conor O'Farrell and Lizzie Kelly, for me, I would rather side with the O'Farrell option, and also because Pipe's got a very good record as well, so that'd swing me towards him. Big Easy, he had a couple of hard races on the flat in the Cesarewitch trial and the Cesarewitch second, and he won them, you know, good efforts. And he, it was another cracking effort last week at Cheltenham as well, to be fair, behind Katko, and I'd fancy him to probably reverse the form, although this won't be as stiff as test of stamina, and I think that might not help him. He ran here at Haydock in May, and obviously, as we alluded to before, tight on the inside. It's not a really, it's not always a very big stamina test, so the fact that Grand Cru won it, tell you that, exactly. To be fair. So and Punchers Towns as well, for that matter. I think that the Big Easy may reverse the form, but only because Katko will bounce.
Okay.
Not because of the he'll improve past him or anything like that. Because I don't think, as I said, the test will suit him. Then we come to, obviously, we've got to mention the favourite Volney Dattay. Was at Huntingdom and he absolutely bolted up a couple of weeks ago over 2.5 miles. Didn't come off the bridle carrying top weight. Got a £5 penalty for that. And that still leaves him £9 well in here. He's racing off a mark of 149. If the handicapper could, you know, reassess them, he'd be racing off 158. So he is well in. Geraghty's on him again. He was so impressive, to be honest, at Huntingdon. Now, one thing that does worry me slightly, Nicky Henderson that day, I spoke to him at Huntingdon, and he said it was his intention to take things slowly with Volney Dattay, just one race at a time, steadily build him up. He said, but if he's going to get hammered by the handicapper and he gets a good, you know, a light penalty at Haydock, I'm going to have to run him. I'll have no choice, really. So that slightly concerns me, but at the same time, you know, he had a couple of races close together last year in November. They're very easy races that he won at Kempton and Newbury. And I think he might get away with it because I think he's a class above, to be honest. And he will be in time. And then one more I'll mention will be Oscar Rock. He's a horse who I loved last year. Bolted up on his hurdling debut at Wetherby and just wasn't really straightforward after that. But he was only beaten half a length by Ballyalton, who was then behind Fahine at Cheltenham, which was a good run. He was favourite for the Challow Grade 1 over Christmas at Newbury, where he travelled well and then didn't find anything. And then he ran at Haydock. Was well beaten over this course and distance, to be fair. Had a break, ran in a tin pot race at Perth in April behind Sausalito Sunrise, who's actually won over fences this season already, to be fair, but was well beaten. I just think there was something not right. What does interest me is that Malcolm Jefferson's had all his big guns out already this season. He's good novices, he's good chasers, hurdlers have all run. So I'm wondering if they've been saving him for this, off a mark of 138 possibly, currently 14-1 with us at William Hill, and I think he'll go he'll run a really good race. I do think Volney Dattay will win. I know it's hard. I know it's not very original, to be honest, but
it is
very hard. It was so impressive at Huntingdon. I mean, whether he'll stay, that is a bit of a concern. This is, you know, Huntingdon was the furthest he'd gone, but to be honest, it was his most impressive performance. Yeah. So that is one question mark, but I think he'll be very hard to beat, Volney Dattay. In terms of having a bet, I'd probably back Vier Leon Rouge and Oscar Rock each way.
Yeah. I tell you what, wouldn't be a good thing to use on Saturday. The betting without the favourite market on that.
Yeah.
You just take Volney Dattay completely out of the equation because he could be miles better than these.
Yeah, I think that's a fair shout.
And then just bet what you fancy then.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree.
Okay, interesting stuff. The 3 o'clock at Haydock is where we'll finish, the Betfair Chase, which is a grade one over 3 miles and one furlong. And we've got last year's front three back in action, all reopposing each other. Sylvania Arco-Conti, though, heads the betting at 3-1. Last year's winner, Q Card, is 100-30 with Dynast. Takana Soy, 5-1, 9s for Minora, Harry Topper, 12s, and then 25-1, or bigger prices for the others. It's interesting that you've got the like old guard, if you like, those three reopposing each other, and then you've got the second Caesar Chaser in Takana Soy coming through, and a few others in there that you wouldn't completely rule out as well at decent odds. It's an interesting renewal.
It's a cracking race, Mark. Really, really good race indeed. Obviously, we've got the first three from last year, Q Card, Dynast and Sylvania Arco-Conti, who also won the race 2 years ago, as you rightly say, with Takana Soy, Minora, Harry Topper, you know, and the Giant Bolster, who's running the race a couple of times before as well. We'll start with Sylvania Arco-Conti. 2 years ago, he ran in the Charlie Hall, won that, and then came and won this. Last year, he went straight to this race and got turned over. So they've gone back to their previous method of running him at Wetherby and then coming here. And both Feely and Nichols said he needed the run. We're not disappointed. All systems go for Haydock, etc. Mm-hmm. Q Card, on the other hand, he was beaten in the Holden Gold Cup last year and then came here and put in a tremendous performance. And again, they followed a similar method as well. He was beaten at Exeter off a very similar handicap mark, actually, to be fair. But I think it was a better race at Exeter this year, for one.
Yeah.
But I also think he won the race, this race last year, when it was better than the one that Sylvania Arco-Conti won the year before, when he beat Weird Al, Long Run, and the Giant Bolster, where Q Car beat Dynasty, went on to win at the festival, beat Sylvania Arco-Conti, who led over the last in the Gold Cup just about, and then beat Dynasty at Aintree as well. And if Q Car's ready to go, I think he might be the one to beat personally. Dynast, you can't knock him really. You know, his form's very good. He's very solid indeed. Second here to Q Card. Obviously won the Ryanair. Second to Sylvania Arco-Conti at Aintree. All good, solid form. But he generally, if he bumps into Silviniaka Conti or Q card, he gets beat.
Yeah.
So that worries me. Takan Desai improved on his Newton Abbott effort, which was pretty woeful, to be honest, at Weatherby, but didn't really scream out as though it was a I'm going to win a, you know, one of the three big chases of the season next time out. But he's still seven. He's got time on his side. I think conditions will suit him, to be fair. And I like the fact that Gerrit is on him very much. Whilst Minora, I mean, he's a good old stick, isn't he, Minora, to be fair? Won that race at Sandown pretty impressively in April. Mm. Obviously quite impressive at Weatherby as well. And he seems like he's been around for years, Minora, though he's still only nine. But again, he's another one, a bit like Dynast. Generally, when he comes into the very top flight races such as this over 3 miles, he's going to find it a little bit hot, to be honest. So Silviniaka and Q Card very closely matched, but if I'm not saying it's going to be a repeat of last year, because that's, you know, unlikely to happen, but it was a good race that Q Card won last year. He's probably slightly more fresh than the others because obviously they all raced through the spring where he didn't race after the King George. And it was a strong renewal that he won last year. And he beat Silviniaka and Dynast fair and square. I expect Silviniaka to maybe close the gap on him from last year. I mean, he was only 5 3/4 lengths. I think those two might fight it out, to be honest. Okay. But I'll just sign with Q Card.
Okay, Q Card then, 113 the betting at the moment. Anybody feeling particularly ambitious, you can't have a bet for the winner of the Betfair Chase to then go on and win the William Hill King George.
Yeah.
So Silviniaka Conti's 15-1 in that market, 18s for Q Card, Dynast 18s as well, 28s for Takan Desai, 50s for Minora, 150-1 on bigger for the others. Mm. Interesting if you fancy something strong, I suppose. But
it is. Do you know, the strange thing is, if I was going to back that to win both, I think Silviniaka Conti is more likely to win both.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because I think Q Card, if he wins tomorrow, I'm still not convinced he'll win the King George. But I think he's more likely to win tomorrow. But as a package, as the two, if you said you've got to have a bet on this market, I'd probably back Silviniaka and hope that he can get through tomorrow and then win the King George.
Yeah. I'm still to be convinced by Silviniaka after his reappearance, but
I know. I mean, but last year, you know, like I said, he got beaten this first time out, and then his second run, he won the King George. The year before, you know, second time out, he won this race. So they've obviously thought about it this year, and hopefully they're going to try and win it again. And obviously, Paul Nicholls got an outstanding record in this race, hasn't he?
Yes.
So mainly because of one horse, but he's not the only horse he won it with.
No. Cotto start.
Indeed.
Yes, good. Well, let's have a quick summary, Stephen, before you go.
Right, yeah, the Betfair Chase Mark feature race, I think Silviniaka Conti and Q Card will fight it out, but I'll side with Q Card. In the Amlet 1965 Chase, great to see Ruby Walsh reunited with Alpha Roth, who's got a great record fresh, so I'll go with him because I don't trust Wishful Thinking to repeat his entry performance. And in the Fixed Brush Hurdle, I know it's not very original, but Volney de Tay I think will be very hard to beat, but two each way chances with Oscar Rock and Via Leon Rouge I think probably will both perform creditably and, you know, worth a chance at double figure prices.
Okay, good stuff, Stephen. Thank you very much, and enjoy on Saturday.
I will, Mark, cannot wait.
Good stuff. Right, that's coming up on Saturday. It's live from 11:40 a.m. with Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have Haydock and Ascot, these two meetings. Fantastic racing to look forward to at those two venues. We've also got Huntingdon and Lingfield in the afternoon, and Wolverhampton in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. A superb Saturday in prospect, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.